Sure, nice to have you here tonight, this afternoon. Glad you've come. Hope that your interest is that you might grow and be stronger spiritually. And here's what I'd like to talk about this afternoon. Should the church change? Now, there's some change, of course, that's bad and some that's neutral and some that's good. But if we're talking about changing away from the Scriptures, well, that'd be bad. And I think you'll see more as what I'm specifically talking about as I go through. Let's think about for a little bit about researchers and how they go to different churches or different people, let's say, and they ask different people, what would you like in a church? What would you like? And what do you think is good when you go to church? What's the things that you'd like? By the way, if you're in the back and if you can't see and if you want to get up and move, we'll understand what the reason for if you can't see that very well over there. Okay, so, here's these researchers, and they go out and they ask these different people, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want at church? And people have all kinds of different ideas of what they like. And let's just look at that kind of idea here for a little bit. And let's ask the question, what do people want in church? And then let's look at these kind of things here. And somebody might say, well, I'll tell you what I like. I like something that's really exciting. That's what I like. And I don't think we have to try to teach our Bible classes in order to be boring. But I don't think that we need to offer fun and entertainment in order to be exciting. Okay? But somebody else says, I'll tell you what I like. I like a funny preacher, one that tells all kinds of jokes. And, oh, I like the sermon, only 14 and a half minutes long. No more. I got other things to do, you know, in life. I like magnificent buildings, and people like lots of fun. No request for money. Oh, you don't have to give anything. No request for commitment or sacrifice. Don't tell me I have to change my life. I wouldn't like that at all. Don't condemn sin either. Don't tell me that I need to stop doing some things, that sin is wrong and an abomination before the sight of God. Don't tell me that either. Oh, and by the way, make sure you have plenty of food and coffee and donuts, and make sure they're Krispy Kreme too. Okay? I'm saying that's what people want at church sometimes. This is what I want. This is what I like. What you end up with is a church that does what people want, instead of a church that's doing what Jesus wants. Instead of what the Lord wants is what people want. We could call it a consumer church, couldn't we? It does what the people want, what the people like, and maybe like a lot of politicians might want to do, or movie stars. Oh, I'm gonna do whatever makes the people happy. I'm gonna make sure that I make them happy. But I'll tell you, if you'll be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to learn some lessons there, I think, in just a little bit. People have this idea that the church should do anything and everything to get people in the church, and do anything and everything to keep people in the church after the year. And it doesn't matter that you do all offer food or entertainment or fun, as long as you get the people here, that's what's important. I think that's a concept that needs to be changed, and that we don't need to be thinking that way. In contrast to that chart that I just showed you, we don't offer fun and games here. We don't have a basketball goal for children. I'm probably speak longer than 14 and a half minutes, like Alton did this morning. And by the way, we preach on hell, like Alton did this morning here. And we tell people that they must change their life. And in order to follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself. And there's some sacrifice that must take place in our lives. And so there's a difference. And people might say, well, I'll tell you, that means y'all are old-fashioned. And that means y'all are out of touch. And people don't like that anymore. I disagree with that. I think there's people that still want the truth. And they want to come because they want to hear what the Bible actually says to them. and they want to hear what God actually says to them. And they want to come because they want to change, and because they love righteousness, and they love the truth, and they want to obey God instead of all the frivols and all the fun and the jokes or the entertainment or the lack of teaching in other places. I think there's people that are searching for that kind of thing, and that's where we need to be. We need to be right there with the Scriptures. We need to be teaching the Scriptures. And this is what it says here, and this is what it says there. We can't obey the Scriptures unless we know what it says first, of course. And there's people out there, and they're looking for the truth, and they're looking not for fun and games and all that kind of thing. They're looking for the truth. And maybe somebody else says, well, I know why y'all aren't doing those kind of things. I know why you don't have all that fun and entertainment, because you don't have enough money. That's your problem. Well, that's not it. You're just in a rut, or you're just caught up in traditions. That's not it either. And look in 1 Timothy 5 now. In 1 Timothy 5, and I want, this is a very important passage if you want to know the difference, a restriction here that's applied to the church. Okay, I phrased that kind of funny. But let me try it. I'll straighten out what I'm trying to say here in a minute. Look here. Let's read it first. 1 Timothy 5, verse 16. Verse 16, if any man or woman that believes have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church. Don't let the church do this, you see. Let not the church be charged. Don't let it be burdened. Don't let it, don't, no, no. You see, prohibition? I think that's the word I want. That's there? You see, and what can we learn from that? Let's learn some five things from this. First of all, that there are some things that the church should not do. Secondly, maybe saying it in different ways, the church has some restrictions. And from this passage, we also learn that believers are to help their needy kinfolk. That's their obligation, their job, so that the church won't be charged, you see. Number four, the church is limited. It's limited. It can't do everything and anything that we want it to do. Number five, the church cannot do everything. Now, when you get it in your head that the church cannot do anything and everything, you have taken a giant step away from what the world views the church can do. The church is here to do anything that they want it to do. Well, it sounds good to me. Well, I like it. And churches do all kinds of things these days. But if we're going to be pleasing to God, we cannot do everything and anything that we want. We got to have a thus saith the Lord for it. Kind of like that. That first chart was like what people wanted in a church. And this is similar to that. People they call the meeting house. They call the church building. And we answer the phone, hello, this is the Church of Christ on Hunter Road. May I help you? And they say, I was wondering if the church there could pay my rent. And then another call comes, and can you pay my groceries, my electric bill? And do you have a Mother's Day out? I really need a break from my children, and they're just really wearing me out. And I was wondering if you could help me out and take care of that. And can you put my son in your elementary school, even if we're not members of the church there? Can you allow Timmy to be on your softball team? Is it okay if he's on your softball? What does it take to be on your softball team? Do you rent out your gymnasium? Are you going to have a soup line this year for Thanksgiving? There's all kinds of questions. And these kind of questions just show you what's in people's mind about what they think the church ought to be involved in and what it ought to do. That's what that shows you. And what you have is instead of members serving Christ or the church serving Christ and being obedient to the head, you've got it making sure that it serves every little need and every little desire that people have and that people want. You know, I mentioned about the market research. And there's a lot of, you might have known some about that, or maybe a lot about it. And there's a lot of that going on, about people doing research to find out what people want in a church. And instead, there should be churches doing research about what Jesus wants His church to be doing. There needs to be a whole lot more of that. Going back to the Bible and seeing what Jesus wants. Okay? Now, look at this is just three examples here. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. In Acts 2 and 42, please. And I want you to ask yourself, what is this? Is this a carnal thing or is this a spiritual thing that's going on? And we look at the church in the New Testament and we see how it walks and how it acts and talks and what it does. And when we look at what the church does in the Scriptures, and when we look at what the churches around about us do many times, we see that there's a great contrast between those two. They don't look alike. They don't walk alike. They don't sound alike, you see. But look here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. In Acts 2 and 42, I'm finally there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Those are spiritual things that are going on there. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 now. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. Ephesians 4 and 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here's some things that God gave. What did He give? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did He give those things? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I don't read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in building homes for the homeless. I don't read about how they were building hospitals in there. Churches do that all the time today. I don't read about that though. I don't read in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 how there's an aerobics instructor in there. I had a cousin that was a part of a church and that's what they did. She was an aerobics instructor for the church. It was the church's aerobics instruction class. It was put on, supported by, financed by the church. It's the spiritual emphasis that's here. In 1 Timothy now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that how thou oughtest to conduct thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of social reform. Is that what it said? No. That's not what it said. The pillar and support of making sure that there's not much litter in the world. That's not what it said there either. The pillar and support of the truth, you see. And there's another spiritual thing that's going on. That's the work of the church. The church is spiritual. It's not a physical kingdom. David mentioned about, I think something about that this morning in Bible class. People thinking the church is going to be something physical, or the apostles at least, a physical kingdom. That's not it at all. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that's what the purposes are for. And I'll tell you, if you've got a problem with your toe and it's infected and you go to the American Heart Association and you tell them about it and you say, look, I've got a problem with my toe. What are you going to do about it? They say, hey, we're not here for toes. We're sorry about that. We're sorry about your toe. But that's not our job. We have a mission, and we have to stay with our mission. And our job is with, did I say the American Heart Association? Okay, not lung, but heart. Our job is with the heart, you see. And that's what we work on. And so sometimes people, they think that the job of the church is to fix any problem. Hey, there's litter down the street. What is the church going to do about it? And that's not what we're going to... We're not in... Mom goes and picks up pollution in the neighborhood. Garbage. And me too. And we walk and there's some garbage on somebody's yard. And she just goes and picks it up. But that's not the church doing that. Because mom goes out and picks up garbage. And is that okay to pick up garbage? Yeah, it's okay to pick up garbage. But we've got a different mission here. We've got something important, something more important than garbage. people might be polluted because of sin in their life. People are polluted because of sin. And they need to take care of that problem. That's the biggest problem. Sin's the biggest problem in the world. And by the way, if you change a name on something, does that change what it is? Okay, this is a projector here. Well, let's call it a radio. Does that change the fact that it's not a... No, it doesn't change that at all. It's still a projector, even if you change the name. And a lot of times, people want to change the name of something, and they make it something... They pick a Bible name, okay? Something in the Bible. Oh, well, let's use that name. And they... It's a secular event, and they take the word ministry, and they apply it to it, and they say, well, it must be something of God, because it's the term ministry. You could change a common meal of eating and call it fellowship, but that doesn't mean that it's not something. It's still a common meal, okay? And you take this phrase, ministering to the whole man, and then you have churches that have the aerobics instructor, like I said, and that doesn't mean that it's, oh, you're ministering. Well, that sounds like a spiritual term there. That didn't change it into something spiritual. It's still a secular thing, a carnal thing. I'm not saying it's sinful to do aerobics. That's not my point either here. Okay? But a gymnasium. There was a big gymnasium that was built by a church out east somewhere. Well, they invited somebody from out west that already had one for a long time. They invited them to come out for this great big old dedication service that they were going to have. And he came out and he said, you know, y'all sure do have a nice gymnasium here. And they, out east, you didn't call it a gymnasium then. You called it a family life center or something like that. And their mouths just dropped and they didn't really appreciate him saying that. But I'll tell you, that's exactly what it was. It was a gymnasium, even though you put Family Life Center on it. It was still a gymnasium. Or there's another term that I thought of earlier, but I forgot it now. But changing the name doesn't make a secular... There you go. Changing the name doesn't make a secular pursuit a part of what God wants the church to do, just because you change the name. Why shouldn't the church get out... Why should the church not get out of the spiritual business and into the social and secular and recreational business? Why should it not do that? Number one, it shouldn't do that because it attracts the wrong people for the wrong reasons. Okay, I put $50 there. Let's make it $100 instead. Next Sunday, we're going to advertise in the newspaper. Anybody that comes, you get $100 if you've got the winning ticket. We're gonna, you know, we'll buy those little tickets, and we'll get one for you, and one goes in the little container here, and then we're gonna draw out of the container, and whoever has the winning ticket, how many people do you think would be here next Sunday if we did things like that? Would there be space up here? Would there be standing room only? Is it important for us to get everybody in this room? Is that the most important thing to God? Doesn't matter the reason or the motive or how you get them in here. Does that mean we should go and get a gun? And okay, you're going to church Sunday. That's all there is to it. Oh, that's what pleasing to God. Look how many people are here. Isn't this wonderful? We got the house full. That wouldn't be pleasing to God either, would it? Now, I'm suggesting to you the appeal about that $100 and that door prize ticket is not the right appeal for us. We don't need that. We need to offer this. This is what we have. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself, Jesus said in John 12 somewhere. I forgot. Okay? But God wants our hearts that right. And He's not just concerned about how many people. You could have a church of 200 people, and they could be just as worldly as they could be. Or you could have a church of 4 people and they could be righteous and pure in thought. And which do you think God is more pleased with? You know the answer to that, don't you? John 6 and verse 24 and 25, 26. Griffin had an excellent talk on this on Wednesday night or so ago. John chapter 6. Look at verse 26 here. John 6 and 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They're more concerned about their stomach, what goes in their stomach, aren't they? They're not concerned about, oh, this miracle proved that Jesus was the Son of God. This is amazing. We've come across the Son of God that the prophets have talked about. That's not what they're concerned about. They're concerned about their stomach being full. You seek me. You're seeking, Jesus is saying here, you're seeking me for the wrong reason. That's the wrong reason. And the assembly of the church is a place where people come. Just like Jesus invites. Come and be all you that. It's where they come to the Lord, you see. The church is a place where the assembly of the church is a place where people learn of the Lord. John 6 and 44 and 45 there. They hear and they learn. It's a place where people humble themselves in the sight of God. It's a place where people beg for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the fellow said in Luke 18. It's a place where we get our thinking straight. And we stop being so proud and filled with envy and jealousy. And we learn that I've been wrong about that. And I shouldn't be that way. And I need to be different. Not just that same old way that I've been this last week. Psalm 73, do you remember? And he's got his thinking not straight. And he goes, look at all those people over there. They're wicked. And they get all these good things come their way. And he said, something like, until I went into the house of the Lord. Then he got to realize what their end would be. The end of the wicked. And so, it's a place where we praise God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Hebrews 2 and 12. Hebrews 2 and 12 says, talks about seeing. Hebrews, therefore, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. It's not about a time for jokes and recreation. That's not what it's about. There's a place for different things. And Paul tells the people in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, don't you have homes to eat in? You know, that's not why we come here. We got more important things. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Look here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. What are you? Are you the natural man? Or are you the man who has able to think spiritually? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So why aren't we going to offer all those things, these secular things and these social things? It's because it attracts people for the wrong reason. Number two, why are we not going to do that? Because it's going to lessen our ability. We have $2,000 almost today. Multiply that times 50, you get $100,000. Take $100,000 and say, we want to build a place to play out here, and so, or a gymnasium, you see, or a place to eat. So we're going to spend $50,000, which would be very cheap. And probably not enough to cover that. But anyways, we're going to spend $50,000 and we're going to build a place to eat out here and to play. Guess what? That means $100,000 minus $50,000 equals $50,000. We have $50,000 to send George to Jamaica and to preach the gospel, to support him, and to support John Duvall, and to support... Well, sorry, John Duvall. Sorry, Brother Smith. We can't support you no more. We've got more important things to do. We want to play, you see. If you take there's no unlimited resource, whether you talk about the United States of America or whether you talk about the church. There's a time where it ends, you see. And if we take the Lord's money and spend it for things, not just money, but time and effort and all that other stuff too. And spend it for these secular things, we're taken away from what God wants us to do. We're only left with $50,000 to do the spiritual things, which God wants, which He commands, which is the example that we find in the Scriptures. Then let's look at this. When we talk about this, we're talking about a difference between your money and the Lord's money. Tommy, I hope you don't mind if I use you. But next Sunday, you're supposed to bring your checkbook. And we're going to use your checkbook the way we see fit. All of us here, you see. Now, how's Tommy going to feel about that? Tommy's not going to like us using his checkbook. That's his checkbook, his money, you see. And we can't do that with the Lord's money either. The Lord's money is to be used for the Lord's work, not what we want. Oh, I'd like an ice cream social. Well, that'd be great. We could buy some ice cream. And oh, some of the kids would like to go to Six Flags over Texas. That'd be nice too. Why don't we? You don't mind if we can't take the Lord's money and spend it for what we want. We've got to use the Lord's money for what He commands and what He wants. Acts 5 tells us the difference there in verse 4. While it was not yours, is the phrase there. It was in your own power to do with what you wanted to. They didn't Ananias and Sapphira. No. Ananias and Sapphira, they're the ones that he's talking about there. That's right. And verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? See, there's a difference between what our money and what the Lord's money is. And there's things we can do with our money, like we can spend our money on entertainment as individuals. But we can't spend the Lord's money on entertainment. We have to have authority for that. There's a story of the talents. And talking about, and of course, the same thing could be applied to a church. Are you going to use the talents that you have and use it properly? And you're going to have to give an account. Think about what the Lord might say. Hey, why weren't more people taught the truth? Why weren't more people taught the gospel? Well, sorry, we had to buy a big old place out back in order to have potluck suppers in. And so that's why we don't think that's going to be a very good answer. I'm saying this. If we get into the secular business, it's going to lessen our ability to do what God wants us to do. Number three, we're not going to get into secular, social, recreational things because it wouldn't please God. There's a better answer than the others. We don't have authority for it. Some people, they will never understand why we don't build hospitals. They've got in their heart, and it's warm in their heart toward this thing, and they're like, I just think that the church ought to do this. We ought to build these hospitals out there. People need hospitals, and that's the work of the church, they think, and that's what we ought to do. They'll never understand this principle of you got to have authority for everything that you do. You got to have a thus saith the Lord. You got to have a book, chapter, and verse. And it may be real nice to us, but that doesn't mean it's real nice to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. David wanted to build the temple. It wasn't the Lord's plan. Solomon was going to build the temple. David was not going to build the temple. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we want God, we're going to have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And then we need to think a little bit about who we are and who God is. That God is in heaven, and He is the one who rules, and we are not God, we are men. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. We don't instruct the Lord. We don't teach Him. We're not His counselor. He's the one that tells us what to do. He's the one that is in control. He is the supreme ruler. We are to be obedient to Him. We are to serve Him. We're not to add to His Word. Revelation 22 and verse 18 and 19. We're not to take away from it. We ought to obey God rather than men. He's the one, not ourselves. We need a book, chapter, and verse for all that. All that we do. Our goal is this. To be approved of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 10 and 18. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18. Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Paul talked about wanting to please God, not men, in Galatians 1 and verse 10. Our goal is to hear, to set forth, to teach people about their greatest need, that they might feel after Him and find Him, find God, feel after God. In Matthew 16 and verse 26 there, Jesus talked about the soul of man and the value of the soul of man. Matthew 16, 26, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" We're concerned about the soul of your soul today. And we want your soul to be saved in the end. And we're here to serve our head. He's the head. The head tells the body what to do. He's the head over all things to the church, Ephesians says in chapter 1 there. We're here to please God in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, 2 and 4. Here it says, "Who opposes and exalts himself?" 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So here's an invitation. It's not an invitation so that you can join a softball team. We don't have one. We're not planning on getting one. It's not an invitation to put your children in our elementary school. We're not here for that. It's not that we don't like education. There's five or six teachers here. That's not it at all. It's not we're against education. We're not here for you to invite you to join our exercise class. No. We're here that people might repent and be converted. Acts 3 and verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted." We want people to be converted. That's why we're here. This invitation is that people might be baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. We're here that people that might learn, "Arise and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." People need that. They need their sins washed away. You need your sins washed away. We're here that people might return to God. Stop walking out there in darkness and with no direction away from the lamp, the Word of God. And stop doing your own thing in your own way. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, I guess I really like this verse a lot. "And that knowing the time, now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Romans 13, verse 13. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." We're here to help people to walk, to continue to walk in the truth, to be abounded, that they might be encouraged to abound in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. If you're here, maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. We'd encourage you to do that. If you've done that once and you've turned away, we encourage you to come back. Come back to the God who loves you and the God who cares for you and the God who loves you and sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. If you need to respond, please do so while we stand, while we sing.